Who should King Viserys marry?
Who would be a better ruler, King Viserys or his daughter, Princess Rhaenyra?
Are dragon eggs delicate, or can an amateur juggler safely practice with them?
We'll answer all those questions and more on this week's episode of
The Joffrey Podcast.
I've been very busy. Many important matters require King's attention.
I'm King now. King now.
I am King.
I am
King.
I am
Kiss it.
I am
Kiss it again.
I am
your fingers or your
King doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one,
but girls.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am
the King.
I'm telling Mother.
My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is
Catfish.
That's right. We're going to be breaking down episode 2 of season 1 of House of the Dragon, The Rogue Prince.
We love a rogue.
If you haven't seen this episode, bounce out, because this is a full spoiler discussion. Catfish, what is your rating for episode 2?
Oh, Bubba, I am going to give this 8, what I like to call triple S's.
Wait, triple S's?
Yeah, sea snake shenanigans. This guy has got plans, and when he doesn't have plans, he's got other plans. I bet if this didn't work out, he'd have yet another plan. But before I talk about the episode, I just want to say that I humbly offer up Ms. Catfish as a possible new wife to the king.
Wait, what?
Bonus, she's actually of age.
Are you sure that's a bonus for the king?
I don't actually know. You know,
8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 is
great. 8 out of 10 is great. I'll mention just a couple negatives that I have, and then I'll talk about all the stuff I love. You know, last week I was talking about Sonoya Mizuno and how I didn't like her previously, but I liked her on this one. I'd like to retract my further statement. I still don't like Sonoya Mizuno.
Oh my goodness. However,
this is a bonus and a possible negative. Millie Alcock playing the young princess is amazing, Bubba. She is so awesome that I'm sad that we're going to transition to an older version. She is incredible. I would just felt for her so much. She's wise beyond her years. I feel like she's doing an incredible acting job. The scene between her and Daemon was electric. The scene between her and her father, Viserys, was also electric. He's like bitching her out, and she's like, do you mind if I sit? We're going to bring the tone down here a little bit. So, and you know, both of us loved Daemon in the first episode. And he did not show up until well after the halfway point in this episode. But I didn't even mind. What went on between Rhaenyra and the queen that never was? That scene was crackling. I mean, she's just amazing. She's an awesome actress. I'm loving what she's bringing to the show. Besides Sonoya Mizuno, I'm also having more of a problem now with this CGI.
Oh, wow.
How could this CGI look worse than it did a few years ago? I think we kind of know the answer to that. There's been a lot of hubbub lately about, like, the grind to get the CGI in, and it's just like,
and
whatever.
Making it during COVID, I think, also affects it.
So I don't know whether you agree with that. I didn't. I thought the opening was not great. I thought it didn't look great. But I'm loving the performances of it. There's a lot going on now. We got a lot more. It seems like we had some rumblings last week. It was like, oh, Daemon is making a move. And now pretty much if you're not making a move, you're dead. If you're alive, you're making a move. Otto was smart. He made his move ASAP. And he gets rewarded for that. And so I just was super excited by tonight's episode. Now, what about you, Bubba? What do you think?
Well, last week I went 7 out of 10.
Yep.
I didn't feel I was engaged. I mentioned how there were no fun characters. And so let me say again.
Yeah.
Episode 2. I'm not sure there are really a lot of fun characters. Daemon, who we thought kind of had his own sense of fun in episode 1. To me, he wasn't especially fun in this episode. No one is making jokes in this world because everybody has very serious things on the mind.
Yeah.
But that said, I'm going to go up to your rating and I'm going to give it 8 double A's out of 10.
Oh, yeah. Double A. What? Double A's?
Double A's stands for Attractive Alicent. King Viserys is falling for her. watching the show, I started falling for her. I was like, you know, King, okay, sure. Now, it may be an act, but she's a great actress. She is connecting with this king. And obviously, there's no reason why in a modern world, or even back in medieval times, or in fantasy worlds, girls who, the actress is probably 22, like Millie Alcott, but she's supposed to be a teenager, would really hook up with a 40 to 50-year-old king. But that said, I think she's doing a great job. I understand why the king married her, and I was engaged.
Haven't you been watching any of these shows about the FLDS, Bubba?
No. So even though it's a terrible match, I understood it and I was engaged. So once again, I bumped from 7 out of 10 to 8 out of 10. I think this world is what it is. We currently don't have any jokers, anybody having fun, anybody enjoying life, not even really seeing people in love. If Corliss and his wife Rhaenys are in love, they don't get a lot of tender scenes together,
right?
Because they're too busy pitching their preteen daughter.
You know, Bubba, wow. I mean, when she came on, Ms. Catfish is like, that's the girl they're trying to fix him up with? And then when she says, what does your mom say? And she's like, well, I don't have to perform my wifely duties till I'm 14. Wee! It doesn't help that she actually looks like 10. That also does not help. My question to you is, and maybe this would help, and maybe our listeners know better than me, but it seems to me that Alicent was more nervous, picking her fingernails, et cetera, when it seemed like the king was going to go with somebody else. So I can't tell whether she's more upset about being with the king or not being with the king. And I wish kind of we knew her real feelings about that.
Right. Do we really know her real feelings?
No,
does
we don't.
Her scene with Princess Rhaenyra, when they were, you know, kind of praying over their dead mothers together, was that a scene that she agrees with her dad? Hey, I should get with the king, because she was obviously trying to push Rhaenyra to connect with her father so her father would be happy and then see, oh, look at this. Alicent made my daughter connect with me. So a lot of great thoughts. We were both 8 out of 10 for episode 2. We love to say here on the Joffrey podcast, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think.
Yeah, please. We're only the ones doing the podcast.
Right. We want to know the people who aren't doing this podcast, how you guys feel about it. The way you can tell us is reach out to us on social media.
Great.
On Twitter and Instagram, we're at DoublePHQ. That's the word double, the single letter P for podcast, HQ for headquarters, at DoublePHQ on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/DoublePHQ. If you're watching this on YouTube, please, we really need you to like the video and make a comment. Subscribe if you haven't already to join us on this ridiculously fun journey.
Now, because, Bubba, if the people comment or they subscribe or they retweet a link about the show, or even if they answer some of our match game questions, which some people have done and shamed us with their brilliant answers.
They have.
Bubba, what do they have a chance to do?
You have a chance at the end of this season, at the end of season 1 of House of the Dragon, on our podcast covering episode 10. We're going to be reaching into a bowl of all the people who've reached out to us.
I love it.
And talk to us. And we're going to be giving away some fun Game of Thrones / House of the Dragon merch for you. You're going to love it. We do this really just to connect with fun fans like you, and like Catfish said, you guys are brilliant. And some of your thoughts on these shows we're going to cover later in the podcast, but we're just super impressed.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Bubba.
Yeah.
We should bring up the elephant in the room. First of all, the name of this podcast. Yeah, I'm talking about Alabama. No. The name of this podcast is the Joffrey Podcast. So obviously this podcast is a very serious podcast,
very
talking
serious
about things with depth and taste and sensitivity. Is that right, Bubba?
So true, because you said that with your tongue in your cheek.
Yes,
and listeners, if you're somehow new to the Joffrey Podcast, number one, welcome. We want you
Thank
to you. Talk House of the Dragon with us.
Yeah.
But number two, let me say there are a lot of great podcasts out there, like our good friend Double M's Before the Dragon Podcast, or our good friend Axel and Gina's podcast Winterfell, or History of Westeros. There are a lot of great podcasts that tackle this show and this subject matter seriously. And let's be honest, on a show like this, where somebody's pitching their 12-year-old daughter as a potential bride, this show does talk about serious things. That horrific birthing scene, the police brutality from the Gold Cloaks last week. There are a lot of serious discussion points you can have on this show. And mm-hmm. not to say we're never serious, but we're kind of like our brand, our reason for being is mm-hmm. to celebrate the fantasy, fun, the dragons, the kind of the silliness of this show and the greatness of this show. And so if we're super silly, we want you to understand that that's kind of it's what separates us from everybody else. So
exactly.
If you like silly podcasts where people have fun and celebrate a great show like House of the Dragon, you're in the right place.
I love it. I'm in the right place, Bubba, because I, you know, especially with this show, I feel like with Peter Dinklage on Game of Thrones, there was a lot of humor. There was even humor with like Jamie. I mean, there was humor. This one's a little less humorous. So if like us, you're fans of the show, but you like to look at things a little bit differently, this is where you do it. And again, we are going to celebrate some of our listeners tonight because they are really representing.
Now, hey, why don't we go the other way and be serious for a moment here?
Oh, God.
The first episode didn't really have a traditional show open about do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. This episode two, we finally see the show open for House of the Dragon. I was blown away that it's using the same theme song. That was like, oh my goodness, we really are in Game of Thrones. But it is a new animation. We're kind of following blood fall down. And so, Catfish, what are your thoughts? Once again, we'll be serious here for a little bit. I don't know. Maybe we'll make jokes about the blood. But what are your thoughts on the new show open to House of the Dragon?
Yeah, I thought those nerds behind us at the premiere said the song was different.
There are in Double M, our good buddy Matt Murdock, who hosts the Before the Dragon podcast. There mm-hmm. are different themes in music score on this show. But of course, nobody had seen the show open yet. So there was no show open in the premiere. And so now we're seeing the show open and maybe Double M will tell us differently. But to me, that's the exact same song.
Yeah, I thought it was the same song except for, and again, it's been a while since I heard it, except for maybe a few different kind of stringy kind of stuff at the end. But it could have been the exact same song. I've said a lot about the CGI so far. Mm-hmm. I thought the blood was super fake. Okay. And so that it just my thoughts on the CGI I had with the open. What about you?
Game of Thrones had an iconic show open, and you look forward to watching it every week. If you were one of those people who were like, ooh, where's the episode going to go? Is there going to be a new place on the map? You know, you'd get excited about that.
You were obsessed with it.
I was obsessed. A lot of people were obsessed with the map. I don't think anybody's going to be obsessed with this. This is going to be one where when you go to HBO Max, maybe you do hit skip. You know what I mean?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, you could. I mean, we'll see if they're going to change it up at all, but I agree with you. That one was cool about the last one, and we saw lots of different things, and this is just the same, very, very fake blood.
Well,
that's all I have to say.
That's what we think. Listeners, once again, YouTube, go right down in the comments. Tell us what you think on social media at WPHQ. Do you like the new show open? Do you like that it's different? Do you like that it uses the same song? We don't care about our opinion. We care about your opinion. So, okay, we've been serious for a little bit. Let's get back into Joffrey of podcast mode here and talk about these match games. It's something new we've introduced to interact with you guys. And so what happens is while the episode is airing on HBO live every Sunday night, from our Twitter account at WPHQ, we're tweeting out match game questions, and we want you guys to respond with your answers. So we're going to cover your responses from last week, and we're going to give you a new match game this week that you can go to our Twitter account and respond to. So, for example, one of our match games last week was Viserys said, last night while I mourned the death of my wife and child, brother, did you get drunk in a brothel and call my deceased son heir for a day? Prince Daemon responded, not only that, I also called him blank. And now listen to some of these great answers our listeners gave us, Catfish. I not only called him that, I called him Triple B, a breech baby Balon.
Oh, no. That was Endless Mike at Endless Mike 03. Dooley's Left Legs at Dooley's Left Legs called him a double N.
Wait, double N?
Nearly Nephew or Quadruple H.
Quadruple H?
His hard helm happy. Holy cow.
Okay. I not only called him that, I also called him a Triple E.
Triple E?
Yeah. An early exit exposition.
Oh, my God. That was Terrence Revere at Revere Terry. And Jack Klompas at BT Mac 11 said, not only that, I also called him Double B.
Wait, Double B?
Yeah, born and buried.
These listeners are pretty damn good. Stop, you know, making us look bad.
Holy cow, that was awesome. Now, Bubba, what is amazing is now that the listeners are into this,
yeah,
you tweeted one out tonight, and we got a whole bunch of stuff that is just putting us to shame. So, Bubba, you want to read the first match game question, or should I?
Yeah, let's read it. I'll read this first one. Here's a match game question for episode 2. Once again, still tweet at us, still tell us your answers. It's going to be up all week. So, okay. Lord Corliss's daughter is so young.
How young is she?
She's so young when she shops for a wedding dress at blank. Lord Corliss's daughter is so young. She's so young she shops for a wedding dress at blank. Catfish, what do you got?
Babies are us. All right. She's so young, she shops for a wedding dress at?
American Doll.
Oh,
all right, Catfish, you ready?
You crushed me on that one. I thought mine was great, but you crushed me. All right, let's get
already
that one.
Already have answers for this. This is incredible. Once again, listeners, if you haven't done this yet, feel free to answer. So, okay, here we have three answers already. So, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
She's so young. Oh, my goodness. She's so young. How young is he? She shops her wedding dress at Hot Topic. That's from Link Hogthrob on Twitter, who's at Matt's Test Lab, the number one. Matt's Test Lab 1. Hilarious.
Oh, my God. All right. She's so young. She shops her wedding dress at
Forever 12.
Who is that?
That's Endless Mike 03 on Twitter.
Oh, Endless Mike.
We got one more. We got one more. You ready?
Yep.
Give me the line.
All right. Lord Carlos' daughter is so young. She shops for a wedding dress at
the tailors who make the costumes for her doll's house. That's our good friend at Dooley's Left Legs on Twitter.
Oh, my God. That is amazing. Holy cow.
That is incredibly amazing. All right, so we've been silly. Let's slip back into serious mode for a second here, Catfish. We didn't have a joust. We didn't have a brutal birthing scene. We didn't have a new heir named in this second episode, but we did have a lot of strong scenes. So let's hear it right at the top. What do you think is the strongest scene here in episode 2?
Well, I'm going to say again with my high rating is because there were so many crackling scenes between people. I mean, I love the fantasy part too. And I was a little down on the, you know, they pulled a little bit away from the fantasy, but the scenes between these actors were amazing tonight. And for it was the scene between Viserys and Rhaenyra.
All of them were good. Was there a specific one you loved or
no, I love the scene where she walks in and he's about to like cuss her out and she says, I'm going to sit. Okay. And we're going to talk about this like adults. And, I'm going to tell you why I did what I did and why it was the right thing to do. And she gets him to kind of agree to it. And then they have an amazing part where she essentially says, we see some softness from her, but with still strength, say, I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only one who is in tatters because my mother died. Oh, and she said, and then she's like, essentially gives him permission to marry, which she comes to regret at the end when she sees who he chooses. She's gonna think of this as a double betrayal. So we'll see how she reacts to that.
I think you're completely right. I love how she said, you know, well, I did go and I got the dragon egg back without any violence, which is probably better than Otto Hightower could have done. So good. Heck yeah. I should have said this earlier. I mentioned in last week that I found a lot of these characters pretty cold, but this episode, Princess Rhaenyra, she won me over, and I am on her side. I think she did great. But that said, my strongest scene is a different scene with her, her dealing with a different relative.
I'll bet.
And that's Rhaenys, the two of them on the balcony.
Oh, my God. That's
and I wrote these lines down where Rhaenys says, you know, she's kind of talking down to this little kid. She's like, listen, I understand the order of things. I'm not sure you do. And then Rhaenyra, who I am a huge fan of now, but she comes back with a Daenerys-esque line where she says, when I'm queen, I will create a new order.
I love it.
As much as I like Princess Rhaenyra, that line is like, lady, you know, princess, we love you, but you don't get it. That the older woman is probably right. You need to listen, even if she's not 100% right, you need to kind of listen to what she says. And so the scene between the queen who never was and the queen who could be, Princess Rhaenyra, I thought it was crackling dialogue, great energy. And
while I thought more got shown in the scene that I was talking about, as far as a wide variety of emotions from Rhaenyra and maturity. I love that in this scene, there's pretty much six knockout punches thrown in a row between these two women. Like for any other women, that would have been, it would have been game over, but they just kept wailing on each other. It was,
I love it. It
was great. I can't believe that wasn't even in my, that it wasn't even a scene that I mentioned in my recap of the show. Great.
No, so good.
I'm finally, I think after 10 years of podcasting and however long we've been friends, I'm going to say you're right.
Well, we've been podcasting together for 10 years. We've been friends maybe three.
out of those 10.
Right. Different times. Right? So, hey, Catfish.
Talk to me, Bubba.
Were there any other scenes that really, really grabbed you? Like, I think the small council scenes, we've had a bunch of them in these first two episodes, but the way that Princess Rhaenyra got dismissed from the first small council scene, I didn't think that was cool at all. And so,
it's
making
all
me wonder if Otto Hightower is the villain. Sorry to cut you off, but that was my final thought on it.
Is he the villain? My answer to that is going to be no. Is he a villain? Probably. This show has got a surfeit of villains. I don't think there's any one the villain. I will say that, this is just part of a pattern with Viserys. We'll talk about in one of the questions we teased before is that he is... He's astonishingly slow to act, unless you mention anything about his dead son, and then boom, he is triggered. That was a great. I thought this show was full of great scenes. Again, after seeing the premiere episode, and basically saying, I'm not too sure about Rhaenyra's. And Rhaenyra, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought things only crackle when Daemon was on the screen. He doesn't show up till over halfway through this episode, and I still enjoyed it a lot. So,
Catfish, you have me thinking of how the king really only kind of gets passionate and will make a quick decision at various times. And you mentioned when you mentioned his dead son, Prince Balon, and so I was thinking, gee, King, here at the King's Landing Waffle House, it's really slow in getting my pancakes. Yeah, it's no problem. No problem at all. My dad used to take me here when I'd get pancakes. You could have brought Prince... Oh, I'm sorry. You could have brought Prince Balin here. Give me these pancakes now! Call in the dragons! Okay,
yeah,
so listeners, what's your favorite scene in this episode 2? Once again, write down in the comments on YouTube, tweet at us, let us know, because we are very excited to talk about it with you. And hey, let's get to our second match, Kim. You ready?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, why don't you read this one?
All right, well, I'll read the one from last week first.
Oh, yeah, please.
Some of our listeners.
Sure.
And our second match game question last week was, Aegon invaded Westeros after dragon dreaming of the epic battle from the last season of Game of Thrones. So we know one thing. Aegon's dream was blank.
And right. Camille at Harley yeah. Camille said Aegon's dream was not helpful. So good. Boy, somebody who's starring in all these, Endless Mike, he said Aegon's dream was a Night King mare.
Dooley's left leg against us, so we know one thing. Aegon's dream was Dave and Dan's nightmare.
Old showrunners, how tough.
And a similar answer was, yeah. So we know one thing. Aegon's dream was dashed against the rocks of season 8.
That was against
Terrence Revere at Revere Terry. Oh, man.
We were so close to a match there.
We were very close. Our matches. All right, so... Bubba, I'm going to read the House of the Dragon match game 2 question for this episode, episode 2. King Viserys is so sick.
How sick is he?
After the maggots didn't work, the maester started using blank.
Chicken soup.
All right, Bubba, I was proud of my answer. All right. Let's see.
After the maggots didn't work, the maester started using
dragon scale.
Oh, ouch, that's a bad way to go.
No. All his assistance is leading to one thing. All right, Bubba, I'll read the question.
We have some answers. You ready for some answers?
Let's hear it. Okay, so after the maggots didn't work, the maester started using...
Ivermectin. Is that hilarious? That's from @EndlessMike03 on Twitter. So brilliant. Okay, we got a couple more. You ready?
All right, yeah. After the maggots didn't work, the maester started using...
Double U's? Underaged usurpers. So the little 12-year-old girl was to help with the maggots. Oh, how brilliant.
Oh, no. Who was that?
That was from our good buddy at Dooley's Left Legs on Twitter. We got one more, and get ready, listeners. Could we have a match?
All right, let's see.
Intro, Kevin.
All right. Catfish. King Viserys is so sick, after the maggots didn't work, the maester started using...
Dragons!
I don't know. It's so close. Dragons would be better, yeah. Just dragon. Dracarys. King is
that is fit. From at Revere Terry on Twitter. These guys are great. These are so good. Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
All righty. Hey. Let's do a character rundown that we kind of do every week. Is there a character that we haven't talked about? Maybe we should start with Prince Daemon, who we both felt was such a star of the first episode. How did you feel about him in this episode? It still crackles when he's on the screen, but for whatever reason, it didn't feel like he was truly much of a threat. Even when his dragon came out there during the confrontation, it didn't feel like Daemon was much of a threat. And then to find out that Missaria isn't actually even pregnant, I don't know what to think
and
about
she,
in this
she
episode.
She doesn't know that she's going to get married.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because it does seem like, I agree he was not as jaunty this week. It feels like things are weighing on him. Mm-hmm. He does have, you know... the one thing that the king was right about was all these provocations was so that he could talk to King Viserys. He has, you know, it kind of reminds me of my sister and my mother, Bubba. And I know this may be too far to go.
Oh, wow.
But,
okay.
You know, if there's something that my mother doesn't like mm-hmm. when I got a tattoo or started riding a motorcycle, I was like, I'm not going to tell her these things because she's not going to like it. But my sister would tell her things about herself that she know my mom wouldn't like because she wanted to get her respect. And I feel like Daemon is in this place where he's like, you know, he's still respectful of his family. He's not going to burn down his niece. He wanted to have the conflict with the king. Now, I was afraid that he would have roasted everybody, except for the fact that I knew Otto Hyde. You know, Otto's going to get out of it. They don't, you know. This is one
in
of those
episode
things.
2. Yeah, you wouldn't think, right?
No, this is one of those things when you know, Reese fans doesn't get out of bed for 2 episodes or something. He feels weighed down and he's not getting the love, but you know, he's got all his boys with him, but he will not go against his niece.
Well, what is also interesting is the episode seemingly ends on a tease of what could be ahead, where Corlys is so upset, it's like he's trying to recruit Daemon to join him. And in that scene, Daemon is still like, I may talk trash about my brother, but you don't talk trash about my brother.
Yeah.
You know, it's so fascinating. What do you think about that pair up? Do you think Corlys and Daemon would make a good team, or are they always going to be almost two proud men who just are always going to have some butting of heads?
I mean, I'm worried a little bit for Corlys, but he's worked himself up, so I'm sure that he trusts Daemon as much as Daemon trusts him, which is not at all. I thought he was great. Let's talk about his wife, who, again, we didn't see a lot of in the first episode. We already talked about that scene. She was amazing. She's strong here. I do feel like this is a very strong pair. But, you know, again, as you said, we don't see much between them. It seems to me like...
they're a team. They are a team. They're on the same... Right.
No, right. They're a team. You know, I don't want to get too political again, but I'm kind of... It feels like the end stage for Bill and Hillary Clinton. Kind of like this is... They have... maybe there were feelings there at one point, but I feel like they entered into this for political purposes. And, you know, they are, you know, for Rhaenyra's to get the power and the mm-hmm. and the wealth that Corlys has, and Corlys to have that connection. They seem to be open-eyed about it. Who knows? Maybe they still care for each other, but they are a good complement for each other.
Right. For me, and maybe this is unfair to compare, but I talk about how nobody jokes and nobody seems to have fun on this show through two episodes. I go back to Ned and Catelyn Stark. They were really only together maybe three episodes, but they did have scenes of them cuddling in bed that, you know, like they would look at each other longingly when one would leave, you know, kissed. And so obviously this is they've probably been married a long time as well, but I think even just a little moment like that might to allow us to see a moment like that may think of them as a true kind of marriage and not so much, as you're saying, almost business partners.
Now, every relationship on this show is strictly a business.
Transactional, right?
Transactional.
So can I ask you about Kristen Cole? So a couple of things. To talk about Kristen Cole, I feel like we don't even need to talk about him. Did Princess Rhaenyra choose him to be, you know, kind of a member of the Kingsguard because, hey, he has actually fought in a real battle, or because he's dreamy? What do you think there?
Well, why can't the answer be both, Bubba?
No, it totally could. If that's what you think, sure, yeah.
Listen, let's go through this, what I like to call double K.
Wait, double K?
Yeah, the Kingsguard contest. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
The first guy on his way killed the poacher. Whoopty shit. The second guy won was the winner of the Cider Hall Melee. Yay. That's JV stuff right there, Bubba. That is JV. He's out there at the Cider Hall, is in the sticks. Okay.
I love cider. Let's go woodchuck with cider. So good.
This is a guy, you know, like Corlys, this is a guy who's worked his way up. Okay, and has gotten his station by winning it on the field.
Let me say that the one thing I like Kristen Cole was the little smack back he gave Prince Daemon on the bridge there over the egg battle, where he says, "Perhaps my prince recalls when I knocked him off his horse." Oh, so good.
yeah. And in a non-cheater fashion.
Right. I didn't trip your horse. I knocked you off your horse.
Yeah.
Well, all right, you ready to go to match game three, Catfish?
Oh, my God, we're already at three? This is amazing. All right, let's cover last week's match game three. I'll read it off. Horny Henry was so horny.
How horny was he?
When his gold cloak boss, Prince Daemon, was giving an important speech, Horny Henry kept blank.
Quadruple H-ing? Humping happily, hastily, and hushfully. That's at Nicholas Fortuna on Twitter. And guess what? We may have a semi-match because our next answer is also a quadruple H.
Oh, my God. All right. Go ahead. Read it off the question.
Oh, Prince Damon was giving an important speech and Horny Henry kept
his hard helm happy. That is at Dooley's left legs.
That is like a match. Okay, we got a couple more that I just love. When Prince Damon was giving an important speech, Horny Henry kept
standing at attention.
At Endless Mike 03. He should do this professionally. This is great. And we got one more from at Bill Kava. This we have to describe to you because it's so funny. Horny Henry kept
nude.
And he has a picture, a screen grab from the current match game where somebody had nude as an answer. Oh, so good.
Holy cow.
That's at Bill Kava, K-A-H-V-A, on Twitter. So good.
All right. So now we've got a new match game question for this week. Match House of Dragon match game 3 is Mysteria. I came to you to be liberated, Damon. From what? Mysteria. From blank.
Sex position. Okay, that's mine. All right, you ready? Okay,
yep.
Let me give it to you. I came to you to be liberated. From what? From?
My bad accent.
Oh, catfish, how cold. But
is
this
she
is
trying
great.
To be French? I don't even understand.
It doesn't matter. When you're as beautiful as she
week.
Is. You
yeah,
can.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Bubba. All right, forget our answers. Please, listeners, forget them as soon as you can.
Are you ready for these listener answers, Catfish?
I'm ready. Okay, so I'll read it at first. I came to you to be liberated. From what? From?
The same main theme song from Game of Thrones. That's from Holly at Hunt Pants on Twitter. So brilliant. I love it.
Okay,
I
came to you to be liberated. From what? From?
Double B's.
Double B's?
Brothel bonds.
Well, all right. All right. I like that one.
Okay,
and who's that?
Get ready.
Who is that
get
one?
Get ready. We got two more.
All right. All right. All right. Unnamed. My sister. I came to you to be liberated. From what? From?
This ridiculous mix of Mirish, Westerosi, and Shadowlands accent I seem to have developed on my journeys.
Yes! 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 Yes!
We have a match, but get ready, Catfish, for our fourth answer.
Wait, who did I match with? Who did I match with?
Oh, that's a good point. At Dooley's left legs
yes!
on Twitter.
Dooley, I love it.
But hold on, we have one more answer, Catfish, so let's hear it.
Okay, here we go. I came to you to be liberated. From what? From?
My accent! A
no!
second match!
Oh, no!
That's from Tori Hunter, who's at Mando Tori on Twitter. So we have a match from Dooley's left legs and at Mando Tori. This is incredible. This is
amazing. Now, Bubba, you told me not to look at them. I was not looking at them. I just answered the question. This is awesome.
This is incredible. Listeners, we're going to be doing this all week. Even if you haven't gotten your match game answers in, send them to us after we record this podcast all throughout the week. Hell, send them to us months from now. This has been incredible. We love you guys. This is just incredible. Truly incredible.
I love it. I love it. All right, Bubba. Well, it's time for our small council debates.
Oh, we got to get serious again. All right, let's do it.
Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, let's hear it.
All rise. In our first case here of the small council, who should King Viserys marry? Small council, let's hear your answer. Catfish, that seemed to be the thing. You can say no one if you think it's too soon because it's only been half a year since the tragic death of his wife and his newborn son, Balon. So what do you think? Who should King Viserys marry?
I definitely, Anna.
Yeah.
Anna.
Yes.
I got to say it for you, Your Honor. He has to marry Corlys and Rhaenys' daughter. All right.
The 12-year-old girl?
Your Honor, Your Honor, I want you, don't think of yourself as being a modern man. Or the fact that he's still somewhat, I don't know. I don't think, maybe more than slightly related to this 12-year-old, Your Honor.
That's true.
I'll say partially related, but Your Honor, okay, he needs those ships. He gets nothing. He gets nothing from Marion Alicent. This just goes, Your Honor, please. Okay. I am begging you. If Viserys had a smart bone in his body, he would marry this relation of his. Now, I'm afraid he won't because he doesn't seem to have a smart bone. But, Your Honor, you must agree this is the right decision. I cede to Counselor Bubba.
Counselor Bubba, step forward. Who should King Viserys marry?
Your Honor, the big problem facing the king is threats. And the biggest threat will be someone with a dragon like his brother. His brother has taken over the ancient seat of House Targaryen on Dragonstone. He's stealing dragon eggs. He's causing a ruckus. And so the king needs to patch up his relationship with his brother Daemon. So the only person, I say the only person King Viserys should marry is Missaria.
Missaria?
That's right, Your Honor. That way he and his brother can bond.
Your Honor, I protest. They're already brothers. They don't need to also be Eskimo brothers. Your Honor, why would there be an edit? He's the one who suggested
clear
it.
Clear the court. Clear the court. Clear the court. Listeners, we're obviously... We were supposed to be serious, okay?
No, I'm sorry. I forgot that we're supposed to be serious.
Well, you know what?
I was absolutely serious.
Okay,
for sure.
All right. Here we go. We need to be serious. Here we go. Here's our second debate, and that is the case of who would be a better ruler, King Viserys or Princess Rhaenyra? Counselor Catfish, who would be a better ruler of the kingdoms?
Well, Your Honor, I would like to present some video evidences from tonight's episode. Here in this first video, they're in the small council, and the princess has a great plan to go and kick some ass so that no one questions the kingdom. And after she does that, here's this quote from Corlys.
At least the princess has a plan.
Your Honor, that is great. That is a great... So obviously, Rhaenyra. Viserys still wouldn't do any, go after Daemon until he was provoked about his child. He's not doing anything about the stepstones.
Right.
And, Your Honor, also...
Yeah?
I will present to you evidence, more video evidence from tonight in the final scene between Corlys and Daemon.
Okay.
Click. Hold on, Your Honor. Hold on. I'm using a VCR, Your Honor. I'll click. Oh. That was never my brother's strongest trait.
Ouch.
Being king.
Oh.
Your Honor.
Yes.
Viserys seems like a decent and sweet man. And as we've seen in this kingdom, those definitely are not the traits that provide a king. You need a king that's going to be strong and defend his kingdom.
All right.
I cede the rest of my time to Counselor Bubba.
Counselor Bubba, let's hear it. This is one, Your Honor, where looking at it through a modern eye, Counselor Catfish is correct. Princess Rhaenyra is making better judgment calls at a very young age and should, in all honesty, be making the important decisions. But because this is a society that is so sexist and so terrible about, you know, it has to be a male ruler. They're so stupid that way. I do think that if you don't want war, at the very least, King Viserys has to be a figurehead king. Princess Rhaenyra could make all the judgments. I think that would be smart. But because this, you know, this imaginary feudal world is so sexist, I think in the end, because war is bad, I'm going to say King Viserys, and I say it, you know, through gritted teeth. I almost don't agree with it, but that's my argument, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I would like to take back my argument and use Bubba's argument as my argument for my side.
good point. Listeners, let us know. Go down in the YouTube comments or tweet us your answers at WPHQ, facebook.com/WPHQ. We want to hear from you. Third question here. Are dragon eggs delicate, or can an amateur juggler safely practice with them? Counselor Catfish, let's hear it.
Well, Yana, as you can see, these eggs, they're very strong. They have scales on them. They're not, they've got scales on them. They're very thick and they're very heavy, and you can do whatever you want with them. You can punt them. You can kick them. Okay. You know, you can throw them over the side. You can do whatever you want with them. They're fine. So juggling, absolutely.
Your Honor, if I could say, the way Catfish just described it, it sounded like an infomercial. Watch me kick this dragon egg with me foot. Let me try to cut it with a stainless steel knife. It doesn't matter. Your Honor, these things, as we've seen on Game of Thrones, can cause a lot of destruction and be deadly. So I think you shouldn't juggle them.
Bad argument. Catfish, you win.
Hey,
thank you, Anna. But I'd like to show you something.
Hey, I want to throw out a small council debate for you listeners. I want you guys to keep us smart. And this is one that Game of Thrones never had to do. Game of Thrones would air in the spring or summer. Game of Thrones, a Sunday night show, just like House of the Dragon, in 2 weeks' time for episode 4, it's going to be going up against the biggest sport in America, the National Football League. Oh, and it's going to be airing against it. So once again, Game of Thrones would occasionally maybe go up against maybe an NBA All-Star, maybe an NBA playoff game, maybe an award show, but it never had to go up in a ratings battle against the NFL. Are you guys going to, you know, watch your NFL and then come to House of the Dragons later? Or are you going to, you know, pause your NFL game and watch House of the Dragon then? Maybe you don't care about sports, and this is a question that may not apply to you. But do you think it will affect Game of Thrones ratings, House of the Dragons ratings, which were really strong? What do you think? Once again, let us know. I think this is an interesting debate that we're going to have in a couple of weeks is, hey, my team's playing, but I'm addicted to this great House of the Dragon. Catfish, which way would you go? Which way do you think people would go?
You know, Bubba, I hate to say this. I almost don't know if it matters anymore.
Oh, wow. No, you could be right.
I know that Game of Thrones had, 10 million night of. Now, I don't know. They do
House of the Dragon. Yeah.
House of the Dragon. And they do They also do like day of plus 7. So I don't know what those numbers are. Day of plus 5. You know, I assume most people are watching somewhere where they could record one. Maybe they'd stop watching the game for an hour, watch this, and then go back to the game. I don't know, Bubba. I don't know if it matters anymore in this world.
Well, listeners, once again, tell us. I'm fascinated by it as just a, you know, outside force on these shows that HBO spent millions on. So let us know. And right now we're going to get to your feedback, the smartest part of every episode of the Joffrey Podcast. You ready, Catfish?
I'm ready for this.
We got some true double L loyal listeners who were just toasting us that we're back, and we're so thankful. So Mark Studebaker, who's at Studeba, said the Joffrey Podcast is a podcast only Joffrey could like. It's nice to hear at WPHQ talking Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon again. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Nicholas Fortuna says, it's great having the Joffrey Podcast back in my ear holes. We're ready to invade those ear holes.
Our good buddy Camille, who's at Harley Camille on Twitter, said, I thought the first episode of House of the Dragon was good as the first. And Camille says, I did get real chills and goosebumps when Rhaenyra said Dracarys at the funeral. Oh, man, that was a great moment. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And on IG, T. Corey B. said, the first thing I did when I heard the series was starting, I looked for you guys, hoping my favorite podcast would come back for it. And you did, just like glorious King Joffrey, who returns someday. Hail Targaryen and Baratheon. That is so awesome.
Thank you. Seth Bell on YouTube said that his rating for episode one, he said he gave it a solid 7 out of 10 double S's.
Double S's?
Slashed sacks. Ouch. That is painful
David
part
Gobert,
of episode one.
Our buddy Grumpy Gobert said, I still would have preferred the Conquest or Robert's Rebellion, but any port in a storm.
Oh, man.
he's living up to his handle, Grumpy Gobert. He's like, I'll take whatever.
We love him. Dooley's left legs, who we've already celebrated so much for all his great match game answers. He says, I'd like to give the first episode of House of the Dragon 8.5, what I like to call double B's.
Double B's?
Butchered balls. See, we go another match.
Holy cow, yes.
Dooley goes on to write, the colors, costumes, overall aesthetic of the show was awesome, and I did feel like we had journeyed back a little while in timeline. I think the characters will grow less two-dimensional over the first couple episodes. Good start. Oh, man, really good.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, Patman23, who is so good. He writes weekly musings about the shows, and after the first episode, of course, he had to write. Basically, he wrote a thing all centered on how amazing Joffrey was. So it was glad to have him along on that. He did also say, I'm team Catfish when it comes to the Grand Maester's alleged wrongdoing in regards to Emma. A breech baby is risky even with modern medical setups. It's why they recommend C-sections. Melos was not offering to save either Emma or Balon. He was suggesting they try to save Balon. If Balon died with them going for breech delivery and the baby getting stuck, then Emma was doomed as well. He said it was definitely hard to watch, though. I know that in reaction to that scene, I've seen people say that shepherds can do C-sections and still save the sheep. And that might be true, but human women aren't sheep. And also, a lot of sheep must have died before sheep C-sections techniques became safer.
Let me ask, Patman, we love you. Why are you spending so much time learning about sheep C-sections? It seems very...
I mean, Patman is an international man of mystery.
Oh, he is.
How he's got his fingers in everything. He knows everything. It's very hard to... I mean, I can't keep up with it, the breadth of his knowledge. He goes on to say...
Okay.
Melos made it clear that it was either save one, the baby, or lose both. I didn't get the impression there was a way to save Emma unless she happened to survive the C-section. He does say, now, if Melos chose to just efficiently remove Balon and not do anything to minimize the risk to Emma, that's a different story.
Now, let me completely sidetrack Patman's notes. The actor who plays Maester Melos, Grand Maester Melos, is an actor named David Horovitch, who back in the 80s and 90s, he was a recurring character on Agatha Christie's Marple series playing Detective Inspector Slack. And those shows are still airing here in the United States. And, you know, I love murder mysteries, so occasionally I'll turn on a Marple. I didn't realize they were back in the 80s and 90s. And when the first episode ran, I was like, God, this maester looks so familiar. And sure enough, this guy's been in the game so long, here he's still doing it. It was incredible.
Oh, man. And to be unsidetracked.
Okay, yeah, please. Back to Batman's notes.
Batman continues to go on saying, succession talk could be very dry, but with everyone on edge, it was all very compelling. Mm-hmm. Especially Corlys bringing up his wife's claim by countering Otto's suggestion of Rhaenyra to counter Otto's enemy Daemon's claim. Otto saying, come on, let's be feminists. It's the second century. We're enlightened. And Corlys is like, okay, so let's re-examine Rhaenyra's claim for feminism. Otto, we're not that enlightened. On the prophecy stuff shared by Viserys to Rhaenyra, I'm mostly positive. Mm. At some point, Rhaegar is going to read Nice and Fire Scroll, and I'm glad to see its inception.
Oh, man.
He said, I'm interested in hearing from people who hadn't read Fire and Blood or even those who are extremely brand new to the George R. R. Martin cinematic universe or his books.
Okay.
He says, my dad has read the books, but not Fire and Blood. From watching the show, he didn't realize that Alicent was Otto's daughter.
Oh, wow.
It's Rhaenyra's sister and possibly Otto's wife.
Oh, no.
he missed that Otto's wife had recently died. He said, but dad is pretty easygoing and assuming that it would all be reinforced later on for him, which I think is a good attitude.
Yes.
I think it's a lot easier on this show as well. He said he's really happy to be Westeros again and also listen to the greatest Joffrey setting podcast. And in my own editor's note, the greatest of all podcasts, the Joffrey of podcasts. It'll be fun watching the conflict between the factions on the show, echoed symbolically by the conflict between Team Bubba and Team Catfish, His Grace's most leal bannerman. Oh, man. I thought he said Bannerman. Yeah. No, he said Bannerman. That's both of us.
Oh, man. Patman, we love you. You guys, follow at Patman23 on Twitter and read his stuff. It's on the great House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones website, Watchers on the Wall. Ooh, man, Catfish, we've done it. I got to be honest, we're still getting great match game answers. Let's go ahead and do this one match game answer just because it's so good. So you ready? We got this one from our good buddy at Nicholas Fortuna, who it's like, Lord Corliss's daughter is so young. She's so young when she shops for a wedding dress at Baby Gap.
Oh, I was close. Baby's on us, Baby Gap. Oh, yes. So good. Close.
So good. Hey, we've said it all podcast long. If you're watching on YouTube, we do need you to like the video, if that's okay. We do need you to leave a comment and tell us your thoughts, your match game answers, anything you have, any thoughts you want. We do care about it, want to hear it. Also, we want to hear from you on our official Twitter and Facebook pages, Twitter at @PHQ, Facebook.com/PHQ. It is great to be back in Westeros, and two episodes in, this is pretty good, huh, Cavish?
I'm loving it so far. As I said, I didn't mind the pace of the first episode. I think we're right. One of our loyal listeners said, I expect it to become less two-dimensional. We're getting more and more from people. The scenes were delicious, and oh, yes. I'm looking forward to that. And if you want to hit me up, you can hit me up on Twitter at CJGman67 and on Instagram at G to the man, GEETOTHEMAN, G to the man. Bubba, how can they reach out to you personally?
You can hit me on Twitter and Insta at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM at Fit and Trim on Twitter and Insta.
Oh,
and you'll hear
boring.
Us next. Well, wait, yep. What?
I'd say that is how completely horrible for the brand to have the same name on both things, Bubba.
It is. All right. And you'll hear us next time on
The Joffrey of Podcasts.
Heck to the year.
Oh, yeah. Juggling my dragon.
Baby. We may have to stop match game if these listeners keep giving better answers than we do. This is so good.
No, come on. Then we can pick out. That's how we'll pick our successors.
All right.
The best match game questions. We'll take over the Joffrey of Podcasts.
Heck yeah. See you guys next week.
I'm telling mother.